The first scripture reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The Lord will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
See, when I was in youth ministry and doing like the art and music camp, I would grab Irene and have her read the scripture to the kids, because that's a good reader. They would appreciate that. Our second scripture is Psalm 56. "Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me. All day long foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they seek to injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they hope to take my life. Do not deliver them for any reason. In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? My vows to you I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life." This is the word of the Lord. Well, recently I was, doing one of our favorite things, which is going through the TV channels, which used to be exciting, but now it's just an effort in futility. And as I was rolling through, I stumbled upon a TV channel that had a show called A Football Life. And on that particular show that day, they were spotlighting the life and career of one of my favorite players, the late Franco Harris. I realize I may be on thin ice, admitting that I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fan in Raven territory, but the truth is I love the Steelers. It's my guilty passion. And the show reminded me of some of Pittsburgh's glory days. As I watched the show and the highlights, I was struck anew about how violent the game was in the 1970s. I mean, not that it's flag football now, but it was really harrowing then. And I'm grateful for the rule changes that have come about, some of them because of Pittsburgh Steeler players like Mel Blount and Ernie Holmes. Ernie Holmes, the head slap. Bang! Can you imagine that? He was like the size of a mountain. When we said that the Steelers slaughtered them, or we were trampled by the other team, sometimes it was almost a literal description of the game. In football, we often use words like slaughtered or trampled. But let me ask you, have you ever been trampled by life? Maybe by a corporation or where you work, by a person, perhaps a spouse or a parent or some other family member, by a death or some other tragedy? Have you ever been trampled by just the fast pace of life these days? I mean, technology is a wonderful thing. But now we do everything at such a pace that it's easy to be left behind, to be even trampled. I think of kids growing up today, and they're playing soccer competitively by age 3. They're out there playing baseball when they can barely hold a bat. They're doing algebra by 6th grade and chemistry and physics by 8th grade. And they have a schedule that would rival any CEO for busyness. They're watching R-rated movies when they're 10 and getting their own cars when they're 16 and presented with choices about drugs, alcohol, and sex that many of us didn't have to make until high school or later. I can't help but thinking that they're getting trampled by the fast pace of life. When you are trampled by life, for whatever reason, I advise you to read Psalm 56. It's a gift from God. And the first verse, remember, is, O God, be gracious to me, for people trample on me all day, my foes oppress me. And those foes could be people or they could be other things. The word trample occurs throughout Psalm 56. If you've ever been victimized by someone you love, if you ever feel that you've been being pushed to the side of life, if you ever feel that there's been an injustice committed against you, yes, if you ever feel trampled by life, read Psalm 56. For in this psalm is distilled the timeless wisdom of God. I remember talking to a young man, well, many years ago, who was struggling with alcoholism. In fact, I was trying, along with his family, to convince him that he needed to go into treatment. He was already drinking hard by the time that I got there. And he started telling me how he had been trampled by life. It was a tale about broken relationships, jobs lost due to factory closures, and events that trampled this man until he was broken under the wheels of circumstance and bad choices. After many hours, the man agreed to get help. And I asked if he would like prayer before going into treatment, because when people say they're going to treatment, that means you take them now, you know? And he said, yes, I would very much like prayer. So I prayed about the things that we had discussed. And after the prayer, he had a big tear on his cheek, and he said, I never thought that you could pray to God as if God was a friend in the room. Tell me, is it only pastors that can pray that way, or anyone? I replied, well, being a pastor is just my vocation. I'm first a human being, and I believe that the Psalms tell us that as God's children, we're able to talk honestly with God, no matter who we are or what our vocation is. Then I showed him a paraphrase of Psalms by Eugene Peterson in The Message. If you haven't got a copy of that, you can get it online at Bible Gateway for nothing. And he saw that the way that the paraphrase of the Bible honestly communicates in real, earthy language, not fancy religious words, but real human emotion. And I believe that man's prayer life was transformed that day. Are we being honest with God? Are we telling God honestly what is going on? Are we just telling God what we think God wants to hear? You know, sometimes after a spouse or a loved one dies, the survivor is so angry. They're angry at their situation. They're angry at God. This happens when a loved one is sick as well, and I tell them, go ahead, yell at God. God's a big person. God can handle it. It's not like God doesn't know anyhow. Be honest with God. You know, when life tramples you down, remember that God pays special attention to our tears. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He sat down on the Mount of Olives, looked over at Jerusalem, and wept. He cried over the death of Lazarus. We worship a Savior who is compassionate enough and secure enough to cry tears on our behalf. The late Frederick Buechner, pastor and writer, tells us that we should pay special attention to our tears as well. When there's a tear in your eye, pay close attention, for something is at work in you right underneath the surface. Something is at work in your soul, and maybe, as Buechner suggests, maybe God is speaking to you. So listen to your tears. You may be walking on holy ground. There was a young man called Anthony DeMello. He was a writer, and he visited Africa many years ago to do a story on hunger and poverty there. By day, he toured the poverty-stricken villages. This is when one of the great famines came through. And by night, he endured the luxuries of a 4-star hotel. DeMello struggled with this. He remembered one little boy, Monty. He was a 5-year-old dying of malnutrition, and he couldn't stop thinking about Monty. And finally, with a tear rolling down his cheek, he said to God, "Why do you allow this to happen? Why don't you do something?" And he felt as if he got an answer that said, "I did do something, Anthony. I sent you." Anthony DeMello became an activist for the hungry and the homeless. Those tears, those tugs on your heart, they're telling you something. Find out what God is saying to you. When you feel trampled by life, remember 4 words: God is for us. So often in the midst of adversity or tragedy, we think that God has forgotten about us. We think that whatever has happened to us has been the victor and we are the victim. But even when we are flattened by life, utterly destroyed, God is still at work. When Bobby Fischer, who was several times the world chess champion, was a young man, he went to Paris with his family and he visited a famous art museum and came upon a painting of a chess game. As he studied the painting, he saw that an evil-looking person was leering triumphantly at his opponent. The game didn't seem to be over, with the evil-looking man winning the chess game. However, as Bobby Fischer studied the picture, a flash of insight came to him, and he said, "It's a lie, it's a lie. The king still has another move." Years ago, the powerful forces in the world executed Jesus on a cross. He was trampled by his foes. He was dead and buried. It surely appeared to be checkmate. But the king had one more move. And on Easter morning, all knew that the king had made that move. Checkmate. Game over in favor of God. Victims victorious. Remember, God tastes our tears and keeps them forever, puts them in a bottle and never forgets them. When you think your situation is hopeless, when you think you cannot cope with what has happened or what has happened, remember that the king is still working on your behalf. No matter what is going on in your life and the lives of those you love, the king knows and cares, and always has one more move on your behalf. Amen.